And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Doing good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing a lot better than Nick Fitzgerald, I'll tell you that.
I don't know, man. Got the week off. You know, he's probably living the dream down there.
That's true. So, obviously, I think the biggest story today in the SEC, Nick Fitzgerald been suspended by Joe Moorhead, violation of team rules. I don't think anyone saw that coming. Apparently, this was an issue that happened over the spring or summer or something. And, you know, I think the most interesting part of that, Joe Moorhead said that Nick Fitzgerald has been named a team captain after he had been suspended. So, obviously, his teammates don't think whatever he did was that wrong. It's just interesting to see the Joe Moorhead era start off with a guy that some people are picking as a Heisman dark horse get suspended for the opener. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah, I think this is horrible for him, you know, because, like you said, he's going to be trying to make a run for this Heisman. You know, he's going to be trying to make a run for a high draft pick, and this is the last thing you need starting out this season. You know, did you find out exactly what team violation he was? It drugs or something like that?
I mean, that's basically code for using drugs. I don't want to say he was using drugs because I don't know that. Yeah. But that just seems to be like the standard. And, you know, I heard someone on, I think it was like College Football Live, they said, well, maybe he was late to practice. But I mean, that's stupid. Like, if he was late to practice, you don't suspend the starting quarterback for being late. You know, they would have made him run or something.
He's done something, and he's got caught for it. So I'm sure he'll come out here in the next week or two. But, yeah, it sucks because, I mean, I don't think it's going to affect week one.
No.
Who'd they go against? SF Austin?
Yeah, so, I mean, they should steamroll this team regardless. But you gotta have the offense going in high gear for week two when they go to Kansas State. And this just makes it that much tougher.
Well, it's a chance to pad them stats, too, you know, if you are going to make a run at a Heisman. So. It sucks.
Now, outside of that, there was a ton of quarterback news in the SEC today. It was basically name the starting quarterback day in the SEC.
Quarterback challenge!
And the only one that didn't, we'll get to those in just a minute, but I just thought this was kind of funny. Kirby Smart refuses to name Jake Fromm the starting quarterback, but he says that Jake Fromm's basically taking every snap with the number one offense, so... For whatever reason, he's got to bug up his ass about not naming a starter. So let's play this clip from Kirby Smart, and then we'll discuss it.
There's no true plan. I mean, we're not announcing a starting lineup for all the positions. I mean, Jake's been going with one the whole time. I think Jake would tell you the same thing, and Justin would tell you the same thing. They both want to do what's best for the team. They both want to give us a chance to win football games. They have prepared really hard, both of them have. I think the game will dictate how we get to play those guys. I don't know how that is going to come out. There's no like plan. This is what's going to happen. This is when he's going to play. This is when we're not into that. We're going to kind of see how the game goes. Both of these kids have practiced their tail off, and both of them have done a good job in fall camp.
All right, Shane. So Kirby Smart, he acknowledges that both his guys are going to play. Maybe that's why he's just not willing to name a starter. But what do you make of this Kirby Smart refusing to name Jake Fromm the starting quarterback?
Well, maybe he's a little worried about Austin Peay getting too much film on him, and he wants to come out with the element of surprise or something. I don't know, man. I think this is more of a product of, well, hell, if Saban and Pruitt ain't going to tell it, I ain't going to tell either, you know. So I don't know. Maybe this is just something that – I don't know. I really do think that we are going to see both these guys play Saturday. So now I'm just curious what kind of – percent it will be. I guarantee Fromm's going to be the first one out there, But I do think he wants to get Fields out there and you know, get him some experience and see what he's really got with him, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense because they know what they have in Jake Fromm. He doesn't have anything to prove at this point. You know, let him get in there, run an effective offense, get a, you know, a 20-point lead, and just let Justin Fields have the rest of the game. That's probably going to be the game plan there. But the just trying to hide it, it's just kind of nonsensical to me. I think sometimes these coaches do take exception to the fact that, you know, the media and the fans obsess over who is going to start the game because in their mind it doesn't matter all that much. But I just think it's different at the quarterback position. And if there's not a true competition, I mean, I guess he's just trying to continue to push Jake Fromm every day in practice. But if he's taken every snap with the number one offense, I think he's stated that several times today. I mean, it's just stupid to just not name him the starter. But,
I mean, is that what you want? I mean, you got Fromm, led you to a national championship game. Do you want him looking over his shoulder? Or do you want him confident that he's going to be out there with the ones and he's got the coaches behind him, he's got the fans behind him? I don't know. There's a lot of quarterback controversies out there, and how some of them played out, I can see why they waited to the last second. But this one right here makes no sense to me. I think Fromm's your guy right now. Give him the confidence he needs to, you know, to excel and get this team back to a national championship.
Okay, Shane, let's jump down to Baton Rouge because I think this is potentially the biggest quarterback competition, and that was announced by LSU today. Well, not really. Ed Orgeron had his press conference today, and he refused to reveal it. Let's play this quick clip from Ed Orgeron, and then we'll discuss it.
I talked to both quarterbacks this morning. It was a very, very tight race. And let me say this to you. Both quarterbacks are ready to go in the game. I will not announce the starting quarterback to the media today because I want to tell the team first. It's very fair for the football team, but those guys have been told. They have been told their grades. It was a very good meeting. Myself, Steve Ensminger, Miles Brennan, and Joe Ender. And we had a very good conversation, and we were solid with our decision. We named the starting quarterback. He's going to take most of the reps this week. But let me say this to you. If he does not perform well, we have no problem putting in a second-team quarterback.
All right, Shane, so does that make any sense to you? I know you love Coach O, holding it off, waiting until he can tell the team when he could have told the team, I guess, at any point or via text or email or what have you. But any logic there in not naming Joe Burrow the starting quarterback in the press conference and waiting an hour to do it?
No, I don't get it. He knew it's going to be out. I mean, they've known that it's going to be Burrows for a long time, so I don't know why all of a sudden he wants to try to keep a secret when – he knew an hour from now it's going to be all over the internet. So, no, I don't understand why he would do that. I just come out and say it. We all know it.
You know, I think the most interesting thing about this, I don't know how honest he was being, but he did say that Miles Brennan just made this a tight race, you know, over and over again. And basically, you know, they kept waiting for Joe Burrow to seize the job, and not that he like faltered, but just Miles Brennan just kept keeping the pace. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
And well, maybe that's part of it. I mean, everything I've heard, Burrows came down here expecting to get this job. You know, they were catering the offense to him. I mean, that's the only reason he's in LSU is because he was expecting to be the starting quarterback. And maybe he needed a little motivation, you know, so maybe that's what this was more about, just trying to get a fire lit under him.
And I think potentially the deciding factor here for LSU, several players came out today and noted that Joe Burrow had won them over. So I'm going to play these two quick clips. One is from tight end Foster Monroe, and the other is from the linebacker Devin White. And this is just their thoughts on Joe Burrow.
You know, I said it earlier, he's worked his way into our hearts. You know, he's worked his way onto the team. I mean, he didn't come in cracking a bunch of jokes and kind of like earning people's friendships first. He came in, made sure to prove that he's a hard worker, and he came down here because he wants to help us win.
I think he earned the respect of the team. You know, and our players only mean, you know, I just thanked him because everybody know how big I am on Louisiana, you know, playing for my state. And, you know, he left his state to come try to make my state better, you know, and the opportunity he could have went anywhere else. So I mean, that was the first way he gained our respect, just by coming here, you know. Because he could have went to any other college, but he chose here. So I think that's about all the respect he get right now.
All right, Shane. So, I mean, just based on those comments, it just seems like the Tiger players kind of bought into Joe Burrow. And if the quarterback competition really was that tight, I think that was probably the deciding factor.
Yeah. Who's got control of that locker room, you know? And it's not easy coming in as a new kid, you know? And it probably took him a little bit more, you know, probably through the summer. That's probably why they've had such a delay on announcing a quarterback, you know, to win the locker room over. But it sounds like he's got it, you know?
All right, Shane, let's jump to Gainesville, LSU's arch rival here, where Dan Mullen did confirm that Felipe Franks was going to start over Kyle Trask.
And obviously, he's got a strong arm, so he can do some different things and make throws that a lot of people can't, just on pure talent. I think he's got a very good athletic ability, you know, and so that can show in his ability to run the ball, can show in his ability to scramble and extend plays. You know, I mean, he's got good size for being a physical player. And I don't think he's worried. He's not nervous about being a physical player. You know, he's got some toughness that way. So when you look at those things, those are some things that we'll build on, you know, as, again, he continues to grow within the, you know, making his reads, how fast he makes his reads, the accuracy, and I know everybody hates it, but the unspectacular plays that quarterbacks make that make them great quarterbacks, you know, I mean, the fact that they got recruited here shows they can make the spectacular plays, and then they got to learn to make the unspectacular ones on a daily basis, and that... But that's all the guys just have that learn from that experience and repetition.
I think that's kind of the one that we kind of all saw coming. Did you have any reaction to seeing that Franks was going to be Florida's starting quarterback?
No, I mean, that's who I expected him to roll out. But I'm curious, out of all those quarterbacks, do you think Franks will be the one that ends this season?
I know it's really hard to say because we've just never seen Kyle Trask play. And, you know, we've touched on it before. Kyle Trask was a high school backup. He never even started in high school. But for some reason, he's at Florida. I guess he's got amazing arm talent, but for whatever reason, he can't win the job. I really like Felipe Franks. He's been terrible in the past, but I think he's got all the tools. I don't think he had it mentally last season. And
yeah,
maybe Jim McElwain's system was just a little too overbearing. You know, obviously no one could get that thing going at Florida really under him. So
right.
I think in a simplified system, Franks is a very underrated athlete. I don't think Franks is going to have like a breakout year, but he's only a sophomore. And I would say by his junior to senior year, I think he could be an outstanding player under Dan Mullen.
Well, I mean, you saw flashes of it last year, you know, mm-hmm. Even that Tennessee game, you know, I hated that game, but he showed moments of being a great quarterback. So if Dan can mold him a little bit, help him be a little bit more efficient and a little bit safer with the ball, who knows, man, this guy may be quarterbacking down there for 2 to 3 more years.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Lexington, where Mark Stoops did name a starting quarterback. He named Terry Wilson, the junior college transfer, over Gunnar Hoke, who I believe has been in the system for, I want to say, 3 years now. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought they were going to start the season with Gunnar Hoke, but they went with more of the dual threat former Oregon quarterback Terry Wilson. What are your thoughts? You know, he's kind of the same athlete that Steven Johnson, the former quarterback, was. Any thoughts there on Terry Wilson getting this nod at Kentucky?
I don't know. I mean, if you got a quarterback named Gunner, you think that would be a shoe-in, you know? Just saying. But, no, I, if you got a dual-threat quarterback back there, I mean, that helps you out.
While Stoops did name Wilson the starter, he has said that both of these guys are going to play. So I don't think this is one that's necessarily over. I think they'll obviously let it play out on the field. But they've got to get that thing settled quickly because week 2 they do go to Florida and they open at home against Central Michigan. And I don't think, you know, I'm pretty high on Kentucky, but I think a game like Central Michigan is not a layup. We've seen teams like that kind of come into the SEC and compete, if not win. So
yeah.
I think this says a lot more about how they're comfortable with Wilson doing kind of the same things that Steven Johnson did last year. So That way the team is kind of, you know, it's not a complete switch to a more pro style in the Gunnar Hoke. So this was not a shock to me, but I don't think it's quite the end of it just yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And then another quarterback competition that was decided today, well, not a competition, but a starting role down in Fayetteville. Chad Morris named Cole Kelly the starter over Ty Story. And again, he noted that both of these guys are going to continue to play, and I think they're going to play it out on the field.
Both Ty and Cole and Dalton and John Steven and Connor and Jack, they all got substantial reps through the course of camp. And they all did some really good things, and I'm really proud of all of them. We're very fortunate to have the quarterbacks that we have, and I'm excited about that. But as we started going into the scrimmage situations, and you know, the thing we were looking for is consistency, and consistency over a long period of time, not just maybe one scrimmage or two scrimmages, but through the course of practice and through the course of the way things go. And I was really in hopes that there would be a clear cut, boom, here it is. It was evident from the first scrimmage. We didn't get that. We didn't. We got a really good, healthy competition at that position, and that's a good thing. And so I guess we started narrowing down and looking, I guess it was probably Saturday, you know, we kind of started having an idea late in the last week and just seeing how practice went. But overall, you know, Ty was still getting first team reps and will continue to get reps.
Any reaction to Chad Morris sticking his naming his first quarterback there in Cole Kelly?
Yeah, no surprise here. I mean, the coach didn't even know who he was going to name 2 days ago. So, even those stories coming out with it, I don't know. I mean, I think you're going to see both these guys, and I think the decision on who's going to be the quarterback going forward will be decided week one.
All right, Shane, another one in College Station. This has not been officially announced by Texas A&M. They didn't have any media availability on Monday, but I think that's due more to the fact that, you know, keep in mind the Aggies are playing on Thursday instead of Saturday, so their schedule's bumped up a little bit. But 247 Sports out of Texas A&M is saying that Kellen Mond will start over Nick Starkel, and that both players have been told of this. Any reaction to Jimbo Fisher going more with the noted athlete Kellen Mond over the traditional pro-style Nick Starkel?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought Starkel was going to be the guy. You know, he fits that mold of Jimbo's. A lot of people think of Florida State and they think of Jameis Winston. You know, he wasn't a mobile quarterback. He was a pocket passer. And that's what he's always had. So I am kind of surprised because that doesn't fit the type of offense he usually runs. But, you know, again, kind of similar to a lot of these other teams, this still may be a competition, you know, and they've got to get it figured out because they got Clemson coming in. So I don't know. I'm interested. I kind of want to see how Mond does, but I'm not completely bought in.
Yeah, and for anyone counting Kellen Mond out, I think that was kind of a natural thing just because Jimbo Fisher not used to running, you know, using a mobile quarterback. But Kellen Mond drew a lot of comparisons to Josh Dobbs last year, being forced on the field as a true freshman. He had his moments where he didn't play that well. He had his other moments where he looked outstanding, kind of like Josh Dobbs early in his career. And keep in mind, you know, some people may not know this. Of course, A&M fans and probably Auburn fans do, but basically Kevin Sumlin chose Kellen Mond over Jarrett Stidham last year. So I think he kind of start to show why he did that, because Mond has got so much promise.
Yeah, I mean, well, say what you want. I mean, you got two quarterbacks competing. But if you got an athlete back there that can make something happen with his legs, it's kind of hard to keep him off the field, especially this year. Maybe this is something that as the season goes on, the offensive line gets a little bit better, some wide receivers start to emerge, something like that. But I don't know. If you're in doubt, it always helps to have an athlete back there that can make something happen if things start crushing down on him.
Yeah, and like we've noted, they play Clemson week two, so he's probably going to be running for his life in that game. So it kind of makes sense in that from that standpoint. Definitely got to get the more athletic guy, because if the pocket breaks down, the only chance they're going to have is if the dude can take off and run.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that he didn't go the other route, though. Kind of go with that pocket passer, and then when Clemson comes in, then roll out the dual threat so that they're not prepared. So, I'm just kind of surprised he didn't try that route.
Yeah, I think Starkle would have just been just getting pounded over and over. So, I don't know. I we'll see how this strategy plays out, but kind of the move to Kellen Mond makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, sticking with Texas A&M, we did want to touch on this briefly, but the former Aggie linebacker, Santino Marchiano, the guy that accused Kevin Sumlin, or not Kevin Sumlin, but he signed with Kevin Sumlin there at A&M, but he accused Jimbo Fisher and his coaches of breaking NCAA rules in recruiting, breaking rules as far as coaching and evaluating during the summer. And he did it all in mind so that he could play for Kevin Sumlin immediately at Arizona without having to sit out a year. It was pretty shocking. Kevin Sumlin announced that Santino has been booted from the Arizona program. He announced that on Monday, and he didn't get into why. He wouldn't get into why, but allegedly this is coming from an Arizona reporter. But apparently there was video surfaced on Friday in which Santino was referring to some of his black teammates at Texas A&M. And again, this is Santino saying this, not me, but he apparently called someone a monkey. And I think that's obviously way across the line, and that Kevin Sumlin dismissed him immediately.
Yeah, what an asshole, you know? This guy, he comes out ratting his team out, and then he goes to his new team, and apparently he's a racist. I mean, get this guy out of college football, period. I'm done with this guy.
And I think, obviously there was some questions on whether his story was accurate, how traumatic the experiences that he had at Texas A&M really were. To a lot of people, it just sounded like he basically was being pushed hard because the previous coaching staff didn't push very hard, and we saw what happened on the field. So not only does this guy appear to be a quitter, but obviously, like you said, a racist, and I don't know. I think he loses, obviously, all credibility in his allegations against A&M. And I think this just kind of, it says everything that Kevin Sumlin, dismissed him immediately without hesitation once this video surfaced.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no place for that in college football. There's no place for that anywhere. So, I hope we never hear from this guy again.
All right, Shane, the two teams that do still have unsettled quarterback situations and did not name their starting quarterbacks, Alabama, Tennessee, third Saturday in October. Both these coaches cut from the same cloth. Of course, Jeremy Pruitt worked under Nick Saban for years. But they took different approaches today. So we're going to play this clip from Nick Saban. I guess he's still pissed off about fielding questions about his starting quarterback. I guess he doesn't realize if he just answers them, they'll go away. But here's what Nick Saban had to say when asked about his starting quarterback position.
I don't think you should assume anything. I don't. If I'm ready to tell you, I'll tell you. If I'm not, I won't. All right, so you can assume that. Is that fair?
All right, Shane, what are your thoughts on Nick Saban continuing to be a dick?
Shocker. I don't know. I think he loves this. I think he gets off on this, just messing with the media. And I don't know if that guy that asked the question was a newbie. But, it may be the last time he asks him a question, So, I don't know. He kind of chewed him up a little bit.
I just don't get this kind of reaction because, what is really going to change Louisville's game plan at this point after 9 months of studying Hurts and Tua,
Nothing. All this waiting to the last second to announce a quarterback is the dumbest thing ever. Especially like with Tua and Hurts, they got game film. They know what Tua is going to put out there. They know what Hurts is going to do if he's out there. So they're prepping for both, but they're still both athletic. Tua can pull the ball down and run too. So I don't know. I just think it's kind of, Nick let this thing get away from him, and it's been the focal piece of that team all offseason. And I'm telling you what. If Alabama loses, early, you know, this is going to blow back up in his face. They're going to say, you know, he doesn't have control of this team.
Yeah, that's a good point because, yeah, obviously, Jalen Hurts, you know, he voiced his frustration on it. Tua, in his own ways, voiced his frustration on how it went last year. And I think the only reason Nick Saban has not named a guy is for fear of pissing off the guy that doesn't win it because he doesn't want that guy to leave. And I think he's waiting to the last possible second to make it even more difficult on that guy to where he can't play this year. That if he does leave, you know, I don't necessarily think the I don't want to call it a loser, but the guy that doesn't start, because I think both these quarterbacks are going to play significantly this year for Alabama. But
well, it makes you wonder. I mean, just like you said, if he's worried about the other guy leaving, okay, it makes me wonder if it's not going to be Jalen as the starter, you know. Because I can understand him saying Jalen's the starter and then Tua leaves and then they got a problem. But if Tua's the starter and Jalen leaves, they still got other quarterbacks to step up and fill that void if needed. It just, you know, I don't know. It just makes me wonder if maybe he's leaning toward Jalen starting this thing.
And then, of course, you got the added layer of this whole thing with Tua's little brother, Talia. He's committed to Alabama. So
right.
Does he piss off the entire family if Tua doesn't start? So there's many layers to this thing, but it baffles me the way he's going about it.
Yeah, me too. And like I said, it could really blow up in their face down there.
Now to Knoxville, final quarterback competition here. Jeremy Pruitt, he as well refuses to name a starting quarterback, while I think almost everyone out of Knoxville assumes it's going to be Jarrett Garantano. What are your thoughts on, you know, well, let's play this clip first from Jeremy Pruitt, and then I'll ask you your thoughts.
Well, I think with all the positions that we have, we still have competition, you know, and the best teams that I've ever been a part of, there's lots of times the guys that you know, may start the first game, don't start the fifth game or the eighth game, and there's been lots of guys that didn't even play in the first game that might have been the MVP of the last game. So, you know, football's a developmental game. You got guys that have been in the program longer than others that have a little better understanding of what we're trying to get done. You got guys who may have more ability that don't hardly understand just yet. You know, that happens everywhere. And as they get more opportunities, you know, they'll get a chance. And when they get a chance, they got to make the most of it. So probably with every position, it's really fluid.
All right, Shane, Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, he says a lot there with saying nothing. Thoughts on what he had to say there about the quarterback competition?
You know, honestly, it's the first time I heard this clip because I gave up. You know, the season ain't even started. I don't want to listen to what he's got to say because it's going to be nothing. I'm going to know more going into that press than I will coming out. So I think it's going to – everything I hear, like you, it's going to be Garantano. And there are some rumblings that Chris may get in, you know, but I don't – I mean, we don't know. I mean, they're really not showing any of their cards right now.
Yeah, and speaking of not showing any cards, they also released a depth chart, and of the 11 starting positions on offense, 9 of them are unclear. They've listed – you know, two guys and it'll say or sometimes some positions, 3 guys and or. And what's interesting about that, why we bring that up, apparently Dana Holgorsen, West Virginia coach, did not appreciate that. So they've released their own depth chart full of ors. And he was asked about, you know, this is Holgorsen, why did you release so many ors when you got so many guys returning, you know, your offense? And this is Dana Holgorsen's response. We oared them because Tennessee oared us first.
Oh gosh!
So what's your thoughts on your old buffet boy there playing a game here with Pruitt?
Sounds like my kids. He did it first. She did it first. You know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know, man. We know what West Virginia's got. They don't know what Tennessee has, and I think there truly are some oars on the offense side. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be – we're all going to be surprised week one. But, I mean, again, we're talking week one. You know, the rest of the season, we're going to know the depth chart. We're going to know the roster and the lineup. I don't understand what is to gain from not announcing your starting lineman or your – you know,
mm-hmm.
I could get a quarterback. Maybe that's the only or on your team. But I don't know. I saw this – depth chart when it came out today, and I've looked it over, and I just, you know, it could be totally different week one. So, hell, I don't know what they're going to do.
All right, Shane, that's basically all I've got there with the big news. It was a busy day, a lot going on. There was some suspensions, but outside of Nick Fitzgerald, that was the major one.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to run down a couple just quick gambling lines because we are in week one, and, you know, a lot of these lines have been out for a while, but I'm just curious if any of these quarterbacks being named, if it changes anything for you. And, you know, let's talk about some of these marquee games specifically. LSU, they're a 3-point underdog against Miami, and that game's in Arlington, Texas. Joe Burrow being named starting quarterback, does that do anything for you with those odds there?
Yeah, I think LSU wins that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think their defense is in good shape, and if Burrows can be efficient, I think this – I like that because LSU travels well, and that'll be a home field advantage over there.
Well, Shane, I can tell you're new to this podcast game because you're giving away your picks on a Monday
edition. Oh, shit. But
I agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I think LSU is going to be a hell of a good game in that one. I'm not quite as sold on Miami, so
– I see what you're saying. The fact that Burrows – it was named the starting quarterback does not change my observation of this game or my prediction of this game. I think, you know, they could have said anybody back there. I think it would have been the same for me.
Now, what about Tennessee? They're a 9.5-point underdog against West Virginia in Charlotte. You know, this battle of words between Holgorsen and Pruitt, and, you know, Tennessee not naming a starting quarterback seems like there may or may not be a ton of uncertainty on the offensive side of the ball. Any reaction to that heading into game week and that 9.5 points?
No. I mean, I think it would have been more of movement if we knew Chris was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, hell, Garantano played last year, and he was in a lot of big games, and we ended up winless in the SEC. So, I mean, the fact that he's listed as a starter, I mean, okay. You know, but I'm not totally excited about it until I see the product.
I got you. Okay, but so with that 9.5, because I know you're liking Tennessee, you're feeling pretty, I don't know how confident you are in the upset, but I think you will probably pick that. Are you pretty confident in Tennessee getting 9.5 in this one?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, I don't even know why I asked the big Tennessee homer that one. Now, how about Alabama? They're a 25-point favorite against Louisville and Orlando. I think you've kind of noted on, you know, how you kind of disagree with how Nick Saban's going about this quarterback competition. Does that 25? Does that you know, you have any change of perception after today's news?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not totally buying in to that. I think that's a little too high for me, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is not very compelling because we agree on a lot of this stuff, but we'll break that game down later in the week. But I think that 25 may be too much for Alabama to cover week one.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have came out and he would have named, if there was no question marks, I mean, it's not just this conference. I mean, it's everyone that he's put up. It's you know, not a real confidence builder if I'm gambling, you know. So the fact he didn't come out and say, hey, this is our starting quarterback, we're going to grow and you know, build off this, you know, kind of worries me a little bit. And that uncertainty going against a Louisville, which is a great team. They're not Coastal Carolina or anything, you know. But
mm-hmm.
It's just – I don't know. I think that's a little too high for my blood.
All right, Shane. So that's all I've got. You know, we'll dig a lot much deeper into these lines as the week goes on. But feeling is real. The games are coming in a few days. Man, it's going to be pretty glorious. We're going to have some action to discuss.
Exactly.
Do you got anything before we get out of here?
Well, don't forget about Dan's suspensions. They'll be handed down Saturday, so he's going to wait. I saw your tweet on that, and I died laughing. I guess he doesn't want to give anything up, you know. So 10 minutes before kickoff, we're going to find out who was suspended this week. So,
how many players would Florida have to suspend to lose to Charleston Southern? I'm setting the over-under at around 19.
That's a good number. I was thinking around 20, so I'm right there with you. And I still think they'd make it a hell of a ball game. So,
well, who knows? T-Bang, Tay-Bangs, whatever the hell that guy's name is, he may have been on campus recently, and we just don't know it. So everyone could be suspended heading into the week.
Exactly, exactly. I'm afraid they're going to see a few down there. So.
All right, Chase.
Just going off the track record here.
Thanks for joining me, as always. Thanks for everyone out there listening. We really appreciate it. And if you don't mind, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star heart rating. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, man. Go Vols.
All right, and then this is what I was telling you. He's like, we have named the quarterback, and I've told them, and they know it. Man, I'm really hearing that rain now.
Are you?
Sounds like you're in a fucking hurricane.
Is it raining in Nashville?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So it's not a big one. I'm going to send my pigeons out here in a minute and see if there's any dry land up ahead.